Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the 11th day of October. It's a Saturday morning. Time once again to talk cars or trucks or vans and the problems you may be having with yours. And if you want to get a little analysis over the radio, easy to do. Just call or text 651-461-9226. And as if by magic, ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive will give you a little bit of an analysis over there at radio. And that's how it works. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
I was mentioning to you off the air that I had an unexpected trip, always a pleasure, however, to visit Lloyd's Automotive. A couple days ago, I went out to start my car, and it did not do that. And I don't usually have trouble with that at all. And I went, wait a minute, I had some issues. I felt something was going on the day before. And I thought, is this a starter? Is it a solenoid? Is this, alternate? What's going on? Is it just the battery? So I thought, well, I'm going to do a little test. I'll take my wife's truck outside, and I jump-started. Boom, popped right off. I thought, aha, I'm guessing it's just the battery. I called Big Nick, and he said, yep, come on over. So I hope and prayed that it wouldn't stall on the way over. And Mike, the technician, put in a new battery. So just like that. Is that usually the case when a car doesn't start? And I know that there are a lot of variables, but I think I've read, maybe you even mentioned that usually it's the battery.
Well, especially this time of the year, you know, as the temperatures start to cool, engines get a little bit colder overnight, the oil gets a little thicker, that starter is going to need a little extra amperage from that battery. And if the battery's, you know, I guess we can say on the ropes, this is the time of year we start to see that. So if you're noticing, just as you described, it's kind of hard to start or things don't quite see the same, it's probably a good idea to get that looked at, because the last thing you want is on a very cold day that you're stranded somewhere.
And talking to your guys there, I think the battery is around 4 years old or so. And that is that kind of a typical in these parts, this part of the country, is that kind of typical?
Yeah, I think 4 or 5 years is definitely respectable and reasonable to get out of a battery. There are some makes and models, unfortunately, we see it more around three years, and there's some obviously that go 6, 7, 8. So I think 4 or 5 is a really good average. So if your battery is in that window, next time you're in, have somebody test it to make sure it's going to have enough reserve to get you through the winter.
I know we'll move on to other things, but I wanted to ask, because I didn't see the actual process, but I know you and your crew, when they are putting in a battery in a new vehicle, there's something the technicians do to keep, you know, your all your settings the same. What is that process?
Well, there are some vehicles and manufacturers that will actually add a little supplemental power to the vehicle to keep it to keep all the memory and all the things that we've saved reserved. Because once that battery gets disconnected, in some cases you'll lose all of that. So, like I said, in some makes and models, we can actually attach another power source to the vehicle while we remove the battery to keep all that memory saved. Some vehicles don't require it, and some vehicles, no matter what you do, you still need to go through and reset all your radio settings and your clock and all those things that we have saved.
But needless to say, it can be done, and it is done at your shop anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, you know, anyone that's been doing this long enough has a way to try to apply a little power to the vehicle while we're swapping out the battery, so we don't lose all that.
Well, it works. And it's going to be a cleanup day today because I cleaned the engine compartment yesterday. I didn't wash it. I don't trust myself with a hose like that. But I did clean up, and we're getting text messages about that very thing. Must be that time of year to get the car cleaned up for winter. But as far as our listeners go, call or text any kind of a car care question you may have. 651-461-9226. We always like to say do it sooner rather than later because Nick will take his leave in about 30 minutes from right now. So call or text 651-461-9226. Texter sent this in this morning. What is the best way to keep a 13-year-old Camry relatively rust-free for the next 10 years? I'm pushing 80 and do frequent washes, but don't do my own hand waxing anymore. It's in a heated garage. Well, that's good news. What would you suggest minimal care for somebody who wants to last 10 more years?
You know, I feel that the regular car wash really does the trick. You know, even through the winter months, there's windows of time where you don't have to worry about things icing over and freezing over. But, you know, and then you spend that extra dollar where they spray the undercarriage just to get that salt off of there. There's a lot of areas that the salt will kind of work its way into, those nooks and crannies, and having that car wash spray that pressured water on the belly of the vehicle will help kind of clean that all out to keep from that rust starting and forming. And, you know, that's really the biggest thing you can do. Obviously, you know, have it inside of a garage and some other things that this person's doing does add to that. But as simple as a car wash on a regular basis year-round makes a big difference.
Yeah, very good. Good morning, guys. Texter says, thanks for your help. The dashboard indicator lights are the problem. He or she says, I'm the original owner of a 2014 Honda Accord EXL, 80,000 miles on it. During the hottest part of the summer, several dashboard indicator lights all started lighting up at the same time. And then the texter lists a whole bunch of these different lights. All of the systems seem to function properly. They've tried to reset the indicators by disconnecting the car battery for 30 minutes. That sometimes seems to work temporarily. But eventually all the lights come back on, sometimes in a couple of days, sometimes in a few minutes. How serious is this? It is one question. And what do you recommend to do about that?
Well, it's concerning, obviously, because those warning lights are just that. They're your warning. So we don't want to not have any warning. And the fact that they're all coming on makes us want to think, what do they all have in common? Is it a power, a ground, some sort of driver within a computer? And truthfully, the best thing you can do is when it's acting up, it's all lit up, you know, you take it into your dealer, your shop, share that story with them. Maybe they can get on and start checking powers and grounds and trying to, you know, figure out which circuit this problem lies. Document that. Maybe they go reset it. Maybe it happened, you know, a second time or a third time, and keep collecting the information. At some point, they're going to have a common thread there that says, oh, something's related to this component, this connection, this circuit, and be able to figure out what's going on.
Very good. Again, our phone number is also our text number, 651-461-9226. Speaking of phones, let's grab a call this morning, Nick. Tom calling in from Crystal. Tom, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Morning, gentlemen. I have a 2013 Toyota Avalon, and my high beams will not stay on when you push the turn indicator stock in, but if you pull it towards you, they do come on. I'm wondering where I start looking to fix that.
Well, I suspect something with that switch, you know, there's that lever pulling it towards you is like an instant or a moment while you hold it. And when you push it out, it's supposed to stay illuminated on the high beam. So something within that stock, as we would refer to it, has gone faulty. You know, there might be a way with, you know, back to the wiring diagram, which is my favorite thing to talk about. We can check powers and grounds, check that circuit, see when you're, as you move that stock, you know, when you pull it towards yourself, it makes contact, they light up. When you pull it all the way away, it's supposed to do the same thing and stay lit until you pull it back. Well, something in that circuit's not working right. Have them prove that, and I think likely you'll find out it needs that multifunction switch replaced.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but let's remind our listeners, Nick, to call in or text in there any kind of a car care question you may have at 651-461-9226. Nice day today, especially if you're going to get out there like some people I know and wash and wax your vehicle. I'm looking at the daytime high today, 67, lots of sunshine, And right now here on CCO, 46 degrees. Stay with us. Another Saturday in CCO land. We'll be right back. Here we are. We're back. Talking cars, trucks, vans, problems you may be having with yours with Nick Stoffel, ASE Certified Technician with Lloyd's Automotive. Well, fortunately, I know the location. I was there the other day, as I mentioned. Nick, but for those that don't know, where's Lloyd's located?
Well, as you know, Denny, we're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. That's two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. Stop and say hi. You'd mentioned the forecast. The weather seems to be decent, so if you're on a walk, stop and say hi. If you have a question, as always, we will help. We'll answer, you know, just to kind of get you prepared for when you take your vehicle and wherever you go. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And then finally, if you do check out our website, you can see all that information, and that is lloydsautomotive.net.
And we will give you that info when Nick takes his leave, which is about 7:45 this morning. Again, our phone number is our text number, 651-461-9226. Speaking of cleaning cars, text, I think this is an interesting one. Do you think the wax in a car wash is as good as doing it yourself? I'm guessing no, from my personal experience, but what do you think?
I think in life, the shortcut's never better. Yeah. If you go ahead and, you know, I mean, it's our friend Dan, as you know very well, would hand wax his vehicle, and that takes a couple hours, where you can go through a machine in 10 minutes, you're not going to get the same result. Not saying that doesn't work, because that's what I do, and we all do. My truck stays clean. But if, you know, come pre-winter or in the springtime, spend that afternoon and give it a little TLC, I think that goes a long way, and I think your car will appreciate it.
Well, like you always recommend, and especially during the salty winter months, is get that underbody wash, pay the extra buck or two, whatever the case may be. And yeah, I mean, it's kind of like chicken soup. It can't hurt, you know, this wax they put on the vehicle. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's grab a phone call. Bruce checking in this morning from Ramsey, I believe. Hey, Bruce, what's your question for Nick?
Good morning. Thanks for the call. I have a 2005 Chevy Suburban that I bought primarily before the AFM. And its primary purpose is just to pull the pontoon around all summer long. I run 1540 Mobil 1 oil in it. Is that okay to run?
You know, we always refer to it. I mean, it's what you've done always. It seems to be working well. I probably wouldn't change at this point. But, you know, the standard answer is going to be, you know, check the owner's manual, check with the manufacturer. You know, just usually a certain weight that's recommended for the vehicle, for that engine, for that vintage. I like to stick to that. I don't like to vary too much. If you've been using something for a period of time, like in this case, I would stick with it, because I think changing also can create a new set of issues. So, you know, I think if it's been working fine, you're good to go there. On your next vehicle, or anyone that's listening, you get a new vehicle, check that owner's manual. It's going to give you a weight and and maybe some certain specifications of oil. A lot of manufacturers now have a little additive package that they like. So just try to follow that the best you can. You do that, and you should be in good shape.
Very good. Let's grab another phone call before we get back to the text line. Todd is calling in from Brainerd, Minnesota this time. Thank you, Todd. What's your question for Nick Stoffel?
Hey, good morning. I've been struggling with a lot of sap and bugs on the car, and haven't found a really good, like, car wash or product to get them off and be safe for the paint. So I'm wondering if there's any recommendations, like a homemade solution or product that you can recommend that won't hurt the paint.
You know, I don't know offhand, but I, too, park under a tree that rips a lot of stuff. And, you know, the place where I take my vehicle to get washed seems to get it mostly off. But you're right. Be very careful. Don't use anything extremely abrasive. Don't use any kind of scratch pad or anything like that. You know, the last thing I want you to do is, you know, hurt that paint or clear coating. So be very careful. Read the product. You know, go to the parts store, see what they have for car wash products. There are some products, and Denny may know the name of it, that help remove sap. So if you have a certain concentration of a spot on the vehicle, that can maybe help the entire vehicle. That might not be very efficient. But once again, just be very careful. Don't use an abrasive, because you will damage the paint.
Yeah, I've used, in fact, I think they call it like bug and tar remover. There's all sorts of things that, and I find they do work. And again, you've got to use some elbow grease, as they used to say, to get it done. But it does work, and it doesn't hurt I found the clear coat on vehicles. So, yeah, like Nick says, get to an auto parts store. They've got all sorts of bug remover. Once in a while on a glass window, you get that stuff from trees and bugs and whatnot, I actually gently use a cleaner wax on the windshield. You don't want to be too rough on it, but that has a cleaner ability too. So I've had some luck with that as well. So check it out. All sorts of products are available at the store.
You know, Denny, I don't think our listeners know that you are the car wash expert, definitely not me, that you and our good friend Dan Burns over the years have mastered, you know, whether it's with the clay or what have, like keeping your car looking like new.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like a fun challenge now because my car at this point is 10 years old, and it's got 90-some thousand miles on it, and it's like you guys have always suggested getting that underbody wash, so I try to do that. As often as I can. But yeah, clay barring, waxing, polishing, love to do it. It keeps me going. All right, let's see. A texter says this. Thanks for the informative show. You're welcome. I purchased, texter says, a 2024 Toyota Land Cruiser last year. Was wondering, do I need to rust-proof the underbody to prevent any possible corrosion? Toyota told me that they dip the frame during manufacturing, but do not undercoat. Is there a difference between the two? We kind of get a similar question about this rust-proofing from time to time. And what's your opinion of that, Nick?
You know, it depends on the product. I can say over the years, having been underneath most products and most vehicles, some of the stuff I think probably can help. There's some of the stuff that stays, that doesn't really firm up, that's kind of messy, that we're not a big fan of, because it makes it difficult to work on things, obviously. And the other piece of this is, a lot of times those products, you know, they're kind of scanning from underneath the vehicle and spraying it, which is helping the easy spots, but it's tough to get to spots that don't get the protection that you go through the winter months, all the salt and on the road, and now they use that liquid spray they put down on the road. That stuff still makes its way through those nooks and crannies. So, you know, I don't think it's necessary. I don't want to speak poorly of anybody's product, obviously, because I don't have all the information. But I don't think it's necessary. I think, honestly, doing that car wash on a regular basis, get the undercarriage, have it sprayed off, I think that goes a long, long ways. And, you know, as we get older, and if you remember, I can remember working at the service station, you know, when I was in high school in the 90s,
oh, my golly, we just lost Nick. Well, I'll tell you what, it probably is an opportune time to get Nick back on because we're going to have a break for that forecast. In the meantime, while we're in the process of getting Nick back on the horn, call us, text us, any kind of a car care question. Nick will be with us till about 7:45 this morning. 651-461-9226. We'll check out that forecast coming along here in a moment on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Thanks to Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. We get this help coming your way every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Nick, we lost you for a bit. We got you back, however, and Nick will be with us for about another 10 minutes or so. I'm looking at the bunch of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help out here. Here's a 2020 Hyundai Elantra. Running lights, intermittent working. Could this be a short?
Most likely. And anytime we see an intermittent issue, the fuse is not bad. A bulb is not bad. So usually if it's something that is coming and going, we think it's a short, a poor contact, a poor ground, something like that, that can vary with temperature, vibrations in the road. So oftentimes those are a little more difficult to pinpoint because it's not always broken, but equally important because if it does fail ultimately, then you might not have whatever it is, like in this case, the running lights that will operate.
Okay. Another texter says this, Nick, the trailer brakes on my 2018 Silverado have not been working. I replaced the brake control module. They still don't work. Does it need to be flashed? I'm not sure what that means. What is that texter saying?
In some vehicles, when we replace modules, we have to program them or initiate them to the vehicle. A lot of times it requires external software that will plug into the vehicle and mate them. So when it says flash, essentially you're putting that software into the computer, into that module, so they know to work together. So I don't know actually on that particular module or that system, but there are a lot of on vehicles that do require that, so it's probably worth a phone call to your shop or dealership, inquire on that. If that is the case, you'll have to take it in. There'll be a charge with that, but if you want that to work, which if you're pulling the trailer, you need your trailer brakes, so don't ignore that and get that reprogrammed.
Yeah, very good. I knew we were going to get some suggestions. Our listeners are smart ones about getting the bugs and tar off and things like that. This texter says bug off works good. Have not heard that. Another texter says best thing for bugs on a car, bugs be gone. A texter suggests this, to spray bug and tar remover on the sap, whatever the case may be, what you're trying to get rid of, then saturate a piece of paper towel with the bug and tar and let it sit for a while. You may have to repeat the process, so let it sit and kind of do more work with that. So thanks for those suggestions. Some, I don't think I'd do this. This texter has very carefully used a razor blade to remove most of the sap without scratching the clear coat. I don't trust myself to do that kind of surgery.
Yeah, I would avoid that for sure. It's always all these products, follow the instructions, use as designed. You know, if you're the expert and you know the limitations, by all means. But if you're messing with the paint on your vehicle and you let something sit too long and it damages the clear coat or discolors the paint, that can be permanent. So be very, very careful as you go down that road.
Absolutely. All right, another text says this. I have a 2011 F-150, have lost approximately 4 miles per gallon, have the injectors cleaned, coils are good, no check engine lights. Any ideas what else to look at?
You know, we get a lot of questions about fuel economy, and my opinion's always been if a vehicle is using an excessive amount of fuel, it's not going to be running well enough for to satisfy the check engine light. You know, there's a lot of sensors and systems in place for emissions. And if you're burning that much fuel, oftentimes we're going to have some sort of failure or warning somewhere that's going to turn that light on. So the other thing I like to challenge people is that we always, you know, my vehicle tells me I'm getting this kind of mileage. It says I'm getting 17 miles a gallon. I used to get 22 or whatever it may be. I'd like to tell these folks, write down the mileage, fill up your tank, drive it the full tank of fuel like you normally do, write down the mileage again, do that math, see what your actual fuel economy is. A lot of times these computers maybe can get out of sort, which can maybe cause an issue where it's not reading properly. So do the actual math, compare it for a couple tanks. If you're still having some issues, check with your shop or your dealer. But most often, like I said, if you're using excessive amount of fuel, there's going to be something else going on there.
Yeah. You know, just dawned on me, I was talking with my daughter, Tina, whom you know, and she was asking me my opinion about tires, getting new tires. She wants to get some new tires. And I thought her question was a good one, not what tires to get, but we could discuss that, because you and I have talked about tires, even if we don't put on a lot of miles, that rubber does age, does it not?
Oh, absolutely it does. And, you know, we don't see as much as we used to, but we would call it like dry rotting. You know, a tire gets up over a decade in years, and you actually see in between the tread where the rubber's cracking and separating, which also can be quite dangerous because you run the risk of a tire failure, a blowout, a flat. So if your car is 10, 12 years old, it has the original tires on it, when you're in for service, have them carefully look at those tires, because that rubber will dry up, will start to crack and can cause a failure.
But her question was, I think, a good one on that note. Her question to me was, if I get new tires, should I also get a new spare? Which I thought was a great question.
That is a great question, and it depends where the spare is. A lot of times the spare is inside the vehicle or under a cover where it's away from the elements, away from the sun, away from the heat. Not the heat necessarily, but the salt and all the road grime. So it doesn't have the same life as the tire that's going down the road. And if that's the case, it's likely still okay. If it's on the bottom side of your vehicle, like many trucks, they can inspect that also. So it's not necessarily true that you need to go and replace that. Based on inspection, it might not be a bad idea.
All right. Speaking of tires, Texter wants to know basically about tire sensors. Are they accurate?
I think for the most part, yes. You know, might there be a 1 or 2 PSI difference? I'm sure that can definitely happen. You know, they're not perfect. They live in a pretty tough environment. But I think for the most part, I would say they're accurate enough where I would trust them for sure.
Okay. I had mentioned earlier about cleaning an engine. But for those of folks that want to do that with a garden hose, What do you say to that?
Be very careful. I'm okay with the garden hose, not a pressure washer. We get this question often too. And if you don't know what you can and cannot get wet, don't do it. You know, we don't want to force air into the intake, into the engine. A lot of the electronics, things are fairly weatherproof on a vehicle as it is, but they're not designed to take that full brunt of a pressure washer. So don't do that. A misting of a garden hose, wiping it with a rag is just fine. But once again, you know, do a little research. If you don't know what can and cannot get wet, you don't want to create a very expensive repair for yourself.
Very good. I think we have time for one more text, as I see just came in. 2006 Pontiac Vibe all-wheel drive, 225,000 miles on it. Texter says, I had a recent oil change at a corporate auto mechanic, and they said my right front wheel bearing is noisy and recommended I replace it. I looked on YouTube and saw it as a complicated procedure. A recent quote said it would take $600 labor and $300 to $400 for parts. What if I let it go? I myself have not noticed any noise or problems.
Well, I would say before I let it go, get a second opinion. Wheel bearings, there's one on each wheel. If significant failure, obviously, it's the wheel comes off. Not very likely, and not very likely at all. Usually what we hear is a humming noise. And as we go down the road, as we change the speed of the vehicle or the load as we're varying left to right, you'll notice that this noise is changing. It's getting louder, quieter. And that's kind of the heads up. The wheel bearing's not happy. One of the ball bearings has gone bad. That friction is creating that noise. But if someone had recommended it, you're maybe not hearing it because you're maybe not listening for it. Get a second opinion. If you have two places agreeing with that, you need to get it replaced. Obviously, with that second opinion, you can get a second estimate. Once again, if there are similar prices, which they likely will be, you know you're getting a fair deal.
All right. Nick, I noticed a couple more texts have just come in. I thought we had it all solved, but unfortunately we run out of time. I'm going to alert those listeners who just sent those texts in. I'm going to save those, and we'll open up the show with those next week. I don't want to leave somebody out of the picture here. So as usual, I'll save any related texts that have come in we didn't get to, and we will take care of those next Saturday. In the meantime, Nick, as we say goodbye, tell us about Lloyd's. How do we get in touch with you guys?
Yes, sir. So if you are in St. Paul, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. Like I said, two blocks east of Lexington Parkway. Stop anytime and say hi, ask a question. If you have a question, you can always call us. We will help you. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And finally, all that information, a whole bunch more on our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good, Nick. We'll do that. Thanks for the help. Let's do this again next week.
Sounds like a date. Thanks, Denny.
Very good. Thank you. Nick Stauffer from Lloyd's Automotive. Now, get ready for Ted Farrow from Haskell's Wine Chat and get those lawn and garden questions ready for Julie and John in the 8 o'clock hour here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.